the fifth Sunday about Brit Hadassah. And you all know what that is, so I won't go any further than that, but that'll be our sermon topic for the fifth Sunday of this. And this week we are looking at, if you have your pieces of paper, you'll see on the bottom there is a guy coming out of the starting blocks. He's a runner, and he's going to be racing. And so our sermon title today is On Your Mark, Get Set. And man, if you were ever a runner and you were in those blocks, I used to run the dashes. You don't believe that. I know you don't, but I did. And he'd have a gun out, gun up, and it felt like forever until the bang. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we're the same way. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. And he says, no, don't go yet. Don't go yet. I don't want you to do that yet. I know missionaries that I've talked to that said, oh, I was prepared to go when I was prepared to go. And I was ready. I was set. And God didn't say go for a long time. And so this morning, this is a joyful message. And I was so glad we talked about music, Lisa and I, a little earlier. This lady plans music like 6 years ahead. It was so good. I enjoy that. As a pastor, I enjoy that so much to have somebody on Monday say, how are these songs? And I said, I wipe my eyes. I'm just getting up, you know. And she does it very early, like 10, 11 o'clock, you know. And so I said, those are great. You know, love those songs. And so this morning, as we do this, please try to at least fake a smile. You know, you don't have to be a full-blown anything. No teeth have to show. But, you know, we're going to talk about some great things that God has done for us if we do what he tells us to do. Isn't that always the way? Wasn't your mom and dad, weren't they awful, more and more loving when you were good than when you were bad? Mine was, we're not going into that today. One other thing, two other things that I need to mention before we go. Did you notice the pillars as you were coming in and above the door? The Grace Group came over yesterday. You should have seen Jeff paint. As well as he can play the piano, he didn't paint. Not the same, with the same veracity. But it looks so beautiful above the door. When you see any of them, just thank you. They just did that to bless us. And I just think that is what Christ asked us to do. Do things to bless others. The other thing, a few from this church, I think about five or six of us total, went over to Rockford and to a concert at last Friday night. And it was the very first time in a long time that as a believer, I had a little bit more of a joyful fellowship. We have a good fellowship here, but it was just things that we need to do as Christians. God tells us to get together and do things. And as this virus thing, I hopefully will be ending within the next month or years or whatever, we'll be able to do more and more of that. I am going to be talking with this is a secret. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to be talking to our board and just see if this fall we couldn't have a picnic somewhere where we could be socially distanced and I could flip hamburgers and we could just get together. And if you're opposed to that, don't come. No, I mean, but we need to get together and have those times of, we were leaving the building and I looked at a couple and they were sitting in front of us. I said, is this your home church? And they turned around and we started talking, just sharing Jesus and where God was working. This wasn't their church. And I was so refreshed from that time together, as I am Sunday mornings when we have that opportunity too. We need additional times that we can get together. All right, now let's go on to our message this morning. On your mark, get set, go. And writer Paul does such a wonderful job of setting this up for us because he divides it so nicely. And as you see, as I have it there, not as he said, the first few verses here, we have 1 through 2. And this is Paul is just saying some things to them like a pastor would speak to his congregation, or maybe a father would speak to his sons. And he said, you know, I'm really asking you something. I'm very serious about this because, and I'm not the only person. How many of you ever heard these words from your father or mother? This is for your own good.
You ever hear that? Yeah, I think most of us did.
And I think this is a little bit what Paul is saying. Hey, folks, listen to me. And I want you to, you know, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Well, to present means to stand before another to serve him. And seeing, all he's saying is, I want you to be ready to stand before God and serve him. And we're going to find out a little later in this reading, or this portion of scripture, that Paul begins to talk socially to us. Socially in the Bible, not just spiritually, socially. Paul gives some social instructions about serving others. And so we have him saying, so the first thing that you have there, present, that little line, and I know some people say, I don't like the lines in the paper. Play like they're not there then. It's okay. You don't have to fill them out. You know, they're there just if you'd like to. But what we would put in there is to stand before another to serve him. That's what it means to present yourself, to present. I'm here. You know, what could I do for you? If I were to stand in front of Jeff and he said, would you do this? Yes, I would. Or would, if I were standing beside anyone, or you were standing before someone. I said, therefore, you know, present yourself, you know, by the mercies of God. Secondly, he says there, where am I? Yeah, okay. Don't conform. Well, let me read it from the scripture here. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, first we're told to present ourselves, you know, and we could go back there just for a second and says, it's just a reasonable thing to do. It's just that, you know, do what is reasonable. Well, yeah, if I'm one of his, I'll do it. Okay, then he says, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the don't conform part. If we were to look that up and you were to get into your little Greek New Testament and go through the pages and look at the words and the bases and the times they're used and how they're used and the verb forms, which is so important in Greek, we would see that what he is saying here is don't be shaped into the world's pattern. My mother wasn't a great seamstress, and she wasn't a great knitter. I wore a sweater that she knitted me when I was in high school to school, and then I took it off before I got into anywhere where anyone would see me. It went down to my knees, and one sleeve was really long, and one sleeve wasn't quite as long, and she wasn't a great sewer or seamstress, but there were people that I knew that moms would buy these patterns. Back in the day, they had these patterns that came in packages. And if you follow that pattern, what would you have? A lovely dress, a blouse, whatever it was. And all Paul is saying here to us as Christians is, make sure what pattern you're following. The world has a lot of patterns, doesn't it? And some of them, you know, I think that the pattern of driving on the right-hand side of the road is good. I like that one here in America. In England, not so much. The first time I was there speaking many years ago, and I went to cross the road, and I looked for traffic, and I looked the wrong way, and I almost became part of a little black car. You know, but the pattern, there are some patterns that we see around us that we need to conform to. What Paul is talking here, what he's talking about here, are those patterns that dictate our lifestyle, what we are seen as. And then remember that verse that nobody likes. Nobody likes this verse. Come out from among them and be a peculiar people. I don't want to be peculiar. Look at him. Oh, that's a Christian kid. Look at, you know, we were peculiar in our elementary school, when I was a young person, sixth grade, you learned to, that dance, square dance. Not the Baptist kids. We stood over in the corner. Square dance time! Come on, grab your partner! No, not the Baptist kids over there. They don't square dance, you know? And if you went to Moody Bible Institute in the 60s and you went downtown, people would know who the girls were.
Because their dresses all just dragged on the ground the whole time. You know, they're dragging these dresses that couldn't only be a certain length. You know, and that's not what Paul is saying at all. Paul isn't saying do odd things so that people will notice you. He is saying don't be conformed to the point where they can't tell the difference. And there's a big difference between those two things, isn't there? And that I was in Montana, and I stopped to visit a friend from Moody, and he said, oh, come on, we're going to go to dinner. And we went to dinner and to this little restaurant in Bozeman, Montana, and he got up, and I got I said, Paul, there are slot machines in this restaurant. He said, yeah, they're all over here. And, you know, and this is years ago. We've got them everywhere. And he got up and he played one. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I go by, stick in a quarter or whatever it was every once in a while. Just might get lucky. You know, and I didn't say anything to him. He's a friend. You know, but in my mind, this is me, and we're not all convicted differently. I'm not trying to give my convictions to you. But in my mind, that was a pattern of what the world was doing, and he was kind of part of it. I didn't want to do that. And so when Paul's talking here and he says, don't be conformed or shaped by the world's pattern in your thinking, in your acting, and your loving. Three things that we're talking about here. And because you see the word think over and over and over in this passage. Now, I guess that's where the next part comes in, doesn't it? Be transformed by a mind renewed to appreciate God's will, is what I would put there if I was in a test situation and I was going to write that in. A mind renewed to appreciate God's will. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is the good and acceptable and the perfect? And so if we are present ourselves to Him, if we're not conformed and become part of the pattern of the world's thinking, acting, and loving, then we can be transformed by our renewing our mind to appreciate God's Word. That's really neat. Some of you know I meet with some guys downtown, and a couple of on Monday morning, a couple of them are brand new Christians. And we're looking at James, the book of James, and it's so unique to watch a young person in Christ. These three people are only a couple of them are young people. That when they see something, watch their eyes get really, really big, like saucers. When they say, oh, "Whoa, did God say that? Yeah, that's cool." You know, see that the Spirit has let them come awake, and so that they now their mind has been transformed. They're not thinking like they used to. And so when they look at God's Word, it jumps right out at them. And it's so neat. A verse that I would like you to put alongside here, if you would, Philippians 4:8. Many of you know that. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about those things. Kind of a direction for our minds, isn't it? And I think I mentioned before, as I've been speaking, that friends of ours in Tennessee, we visited their home, and they had that verse above their TV. It would be hard to turn your TV on if that was what you were looking at, wasn't it? And so the renewal of our mind would bring us to a point where we would what? Think on those things. Well, man, other things come into my mind, Pastor. Me too. Me too. Especially when we live in the world we live in. And even if we're not part of that pattern, we're affected by it. When things happen and there's all the things that are going on around us, we don't even need to start listing them. There's so many. But we have to what? Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me think? Lord, how would you have me act? And if we are thinking, oh, let's turn. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. I'm going to read a passage in Philippians this morning that this week was just really hit me pretty hard as I was doing some study. It's a portion that we all know, but the thing is, we sometimes just stop after the first verse. I'm going to start in verse 5, and it says this, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And usually we stop there, and sometimes we'll even quote the verse, which is also in Christ Jesus, which is another translation. Oh, have the same mind as Christ. Okay, cool. I guess I'll do that. But then we need to keep reading, don't we? Because it says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself.
He wasn't already humbled enough. That's what really got me. He was God. He came down. All of these things happened. And then he says, and then he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross.
We don't have that mind. Or maybe I should speak for myself and say, I don't have that mind. I don't know how humble I could be. I don't know if I could, you know, take that, forsake everything I think is what I should be doing or saying or being, and just humble myself and say, take my life. If I was a pastor in Russia, and I've spoken of this many times since I've been here, and it's happened again in the last month, 25 Russian Christians were executed. Same thing happened in Africa. Same thing happened in China. And the same thing is happening all over the world. And those pastors, men came through the doors of the church, still supposedly still can meet in a church. They came in, they took the pastors out, and they didn't even say a word in this one situation and just shot them, left their bodies there in the parking lot. Whoa. I wonder, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not saying, but I believe that that situation in America may not always go that way. I think I have run across some men that stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning that would say, hey, it's okay, man. Don't do that. I'm done preaching. I'll go back to work at GM or wherever it is. I'll do that. I believe there are some folks that wouldn't do that, wouldn't accept what Christ would have for them in that area. And so as we think about this, being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can really appreciate God's will, it's a little bit more in-depth than maybe we thought at first, isn't it? Maybe there's a little bit more involved in this renewal. Maybe there's a little bit more of my giving of myself. Let me turn back to my other passage here. There we go. I've got that. I think probably the easiest to convey is in how we do that is the marriage thing. And for you that are here that are not married, you know, just bear with me for a moment. How many men here, there's a few married men here, go shopping with their wives for groceries? Am I the only one? I love it. You know, I can put stuff in the cart she would never get. You know what I mean? Ooh, yes, I didn't want those. Chum, you know? But this situation where a husband and wife, you know, and this knowing and humbling yourself, you know, to be their servant. That's hard for a man. It really is. Why? Because I am not the weaker vessel. I am chosen to be the head of this family, as head was, Christ was the head of the church. Wow, don't see any humbleness in that, do you? Oh, getting up and once in a while we'll be talking and I'll just say something. And most of you men will probably really relate to this. Honey, I don't care. It's like I'm on my knees and I'll say, I don't really care. I have anything I'd want to do, but where would you like to go eat supper? We all know the answer, don't you? I don't care. You choose. You know? But there are times in the marriage when we eat men and women, and in other relationships also, that we have to humble ourselves, and I think it's difficult sometimes for us. And Christ says, Paul said, if you have the mind of Christ, guess what? You'll do it. Just remember what he did. How could anything or anyone become more humble? And I really, really, I like this point. I really went on that, didn't I? Well, testing. Oh, man. He says to do this, and he says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to know what that is in my life, don't you? Don't you want the best God has for you? And don't you want to be able to be that servant? You want to be able to present yourself so that God can say, this is what I have for you. As a youth pastor, I think more and more people, kids would come to me and say, how do I know God's will? You know, especially little girls, young girls, teenage girls. Yes, teenage girls, you know this. And they come, they have, how do I know Bobby's the right boy for me? Well, you're 12, so he's probably not, or 13. But, you know, right here we find out that if we are put ourselves in this situation, God's going to, through his word, is going to show us what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect for us. I mean, that's the springboard to really a wonderful enjoyment of a Christian life. Well, you say, well, I know those people that were martyred or heard of them. I know those people that have gone through hardship. I know those people that have gone through a divorce. I know those people that have lost a spouse. I know. And you're telling me that is God's perfect, acceptable will for them because he loves them? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I can never tell someone that at that moment. That's not my point and place as a pastor. My place is to stand beside and to hold and to touch and their shoulders and tell them that we're going to be with them through this. But so many times, and you've had this happen, so I'm just, people will come to you later and say, because of what has happened in my life, God has opened this. Because of what has happened in my life, God has shown me in this word of God, in his word, this for my life. And I can go on and I can be abundant in my life. Didn't Jesus say that they have abundance? And so by doing these things, the testing is to see the importance of God's will as it's revealed by his word. And be careful there, because I've run into so many people that, it was revealed to me by a book that Dr. Swindoll wrote. Swindoll, great man. Don't count on him for your leading in God, to be an assistance maybe, but the word of God. Well, the pastor said, pastor, if he's preaching God's words, doing a good job, you still rely on the word of God for you. Well, this TV show that I saw, I don't like TV shows, but who knows. But yeah, it could be good, but still rely on the word of God. Testing the things that way. Okay, well, we've said on your mark for quite a while. Let's go to get set. And that's the verses 3-5, and it says, well, we've already read it, and thank you for that, Dana. This is where Paul begins the social implications of being right with God. And we're just going to cover these two parts. Don't think about yourself. You're not your all in all. You're not everything. You know, we're to think about others. Why? Because we have all have a different thing that we do within the body. You know, in verse 4, for as one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. And so many it's 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. And so we are to, you know, not think of ourselves as the best part of the body. Was that guy's name that used to be on? Remember, there was a guy on Ed Sullivan when some of you weren't born and others of you were. And he would take his hand and he would paint a lip on here. You all right? It's all right. You have a good day? Have a good day. You know, and it's like his hand was his mouth. And that, you know, that's what Paul's saying. That's not true. That doesn't really happen. If you're here and this is your part of the family of God, don't try to be here. You know, if you're the leg part, don't try to be another part. And he says, so we have this, not to think of ourselves more highly than we are. And that is easy to do. Why were we reading about India? We were doing something about India the other day and the caste system. And is the caste system still prevalent, Ravi? It is. Okay. And you're born. You don't marry in above and you don't marry below, and you have things that you're set in your life. And much like England in the 1700s, you know, and the serfs and all the different layers of society, and you didn't go from one to another. And those that were on the top, wow, if you've watched any old English TV, you know, any of those old programs, the beautiful carriages with beautiful horses and the coachman, you know, riding and have the beautiful hat. And the ladies get out of the carriage. Oh, yes, my lord. Oh, so happy to see you. Come into the car. You know, and the guy that's carrying a wood, and he always has no teeth. Has hair just like mine in the morning, sticking out straight. Got the wood for the stove. And he takes it in. And they don't mingle. And what's that show I'm trying to think of? Downton Abbey. You know, one time there was a servant girl who was on the third floor, and she wasn't supposed to be there. And man, the guy just, boy, she really got it. Well, all I'm saying is, that's not us. We're all right here. No matter who you are in the family of God, no matter what your position, you know, none of us are better than another. None of us, God says, oh man, do I like Larry. He is really cool. Dana, not so much. No, God doesn't say that. God says, these are my children. I hold them in my hand. Daily, I watch over them. Daily, I supply their needs. So for us to, in any form, say, yeah, but I'm glad I'm who I am, you know, no. But rather, others before ourselves. There's a big difference between thinking and not being haughty to thinking about others before yourself, isn't there? Has anyone here, I have never done this, I'm not, you know what, I'm going to go, today's the day that me and the little lady go look for a new car. Go to a car dealer. Has there ever been a time in your life or my life, and this is a really way off the wall example, where we've been going to do that, we thought, hey, Brother Joe lost his car, accident, whatever the case, let's go see if we can find a cheap used car to give to Brother Joe. Whoa, are you kidding me? A car? We've done things like, they had a funeral, and let's take food to their house for 4 or 5 days. Wonderful thing to do. There's been a surgery. Let's take food to their house. But how many of us really step out? How many times as a group of believers, and hopefully you've done this, someone in the congregation has lost their job, and the church says, you know what? Benevolent fund. Let's give it to them before. That's what the verse is talking about. Personally, the same way. You know, and not just to brothers and sisters in Christ, but to others we see. Why? Because that's not the world pattern. The world pattern is not for me to help you. The world pattern is for me to get what I can get. And if I've got any left over, maybe the United Way. You know, maybe the United Cancer Fund. We are to be thinking just the opposite. What can I do for them before I take care of myself? Why? Because Jesus said, see that sparrow? You see it? Your Father watches it and cares for it. Oh. All right, now the good part. On your mark, get set. You got your mind ready. You know the body. You know what's going to happen. And now, go. Go do what you're supposed to be doing. And he says this. He says, having these different gifts according to the grace that's been given you, let us use them. Let us use them. I have a whole toolbox somewhere. I do. I don't use them. Why? I'm not good at it. I'm very bad at it, as a matter of fact.
Paul said, you know what you can do? You know what your gifts are now? You've studied, you have the mind of Christ. Now do what you're supposed to do. Wow. What is that?
Well, let's look and see. In prophecy, in proportion to your faith. And what that prophecy means there is, when God reveals to me as I'm studying and I speak, it's not new things that aren't in the Bible. It is making sure that folks know what the Bible says and being that when God gives me direction that I speak it in truth. In service, in our serving the one who teaches. I like that. You know, I teach, you guys have to serve me. Oh, that would be, no, that's not what it means. It just means in service, we're serving those that we can and those that do teach and those, and we take care of those that do things for the church and for the body of Christ. In, to those who exhort, his exhortation, you know, to those who contribute, you guys contribute generously, and we've seen that in this church over the years, and the one who leads
with zeal. That's a word that we don't use much, do we? We use enthusiasm. That's a good one. Excitement, you know, and, you know, with the being proactive. I've not heard anything, it's been a while since I've heard anyone say, that guy has a lot of zeal. Moxie, I've heard, you know, those other words. But this zeal, and if we were to look into what zeal really is, that means just being on the forefront, being excited, some of those other words all thrown in together, and so that people know what? He's following Jesus. He's following the word of God. His mindset is right. And when they sit on your mark and get set, and we say go to a leader with zeal, you better hurry to catch up with him because he's gone. And man, do I love those kind of leaders. I love it when I can have a conversation with someone and they say, you know what? I'm going to take care of that. And I say, great, man. Thank you so much, especially in the church. And then Tuesday I get a call. Hey, that's done. What's next? Because pastors are very, very used to hearing this. Hey, pastor, I got it. Board meeting. And that's the board meeting in June. Got it. It's taken care of, man. Thank you. Thank you. July board meeting. And how did that project go? Well, you know what? Didn't get to it yet, but we're going to cover it. July. August, September. Sometimes we, things like that. That's not what a leader who leads with zeal does. The leader that leads with zeal gets it done when he can, as quickly as he can, with the excitement that he can. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Isn't that cool? I watched, you know, let's do a little definition of acts of mercy. Acts of mercy are when you are able, through God's grace and love and what he's given you, to do something that somebody else cannot do. Perhaps you've stopped by the road when there's a lady with a flat tire. And you've stopped in the middle of the rain and you've changed her tire. That's an act of mercy. When there's been that person that's on the side of the road and they, boy, they look really ragged and their sign says, I have not eaten for a long time and I've got 7 children, whatever it says. And you say, come on with me, man, let's go to McDonald's. And you buy them something to eat. And then you fill the bag up with hamburgers and say, take them home. Act of mercy. When there's someone been wanting to come to church but can't, there's not a ride, and you give them a ride. Well, you're getting the idea what an act of mercy is. And some people sometimes say, oh, is that all that's left? I guess that's what I have to do. They're not in order, folks. These are not in order of any importance to God. God looks down at us as we're doing what he says we should do because of what he's revealed to us to hit his will in our lives. We're going to walk in front of him. And I used to fear that day. Now I don't fear it. I have a little trepidation, but when he's going to say, especially I think to those people that show mercy, well done, Well done, my good, my faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. Is that why we're doing it? We're doing it because we're obedient, aren't we?
Well, with cheerfulness. That wraps all of them up in cheerfulness. Not bad, Arch, not bad. I have done many things when I've been told to do them. And I've done a lot of them under protest. And I bet you have too.
Yeah. You know, and the
story of the little girl who's got in trouble. She was a little girl, probably a little older, you know, than Ruthie. Just a little older. And she did something wrong, and her mom said, "You go sit in that corner right now." And she went and sat in the corner, put her arms up like a little girl might do, and made that face. She says, "I might be sitting here as far as you can see, but in my mind, I'm playing outside." You know, have you ever been obedient like that? I know this is what you want me to do, but boy, in my mind, I'm doing something else. Paul is saying, guys, want to have real joy? You want to be really happy? Do these things with cheerfulness. I'm going to end the service a little bit different this morning. I think that we need sometimes to make decisions. Sometimes we need to make them in public. And I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward today, but I'm going to ask Jeff if he will. He's going to play a verse of one of the hymns that we all know. We don't even need the words up on the screen for this. Have your own way, Lord. Because all of this culminates into what? The humbleness, the doing, on our mark, on our set go is what? Lord, what do you want me to do? You're the potter, I am the clay. Examine your heart, just right now, just for a moment. If there have been things that you haven't been able to give to the Lord, maybe it's your fear in this COVID time. And there's a difference between fear and caution. But maybe it's you're not giving that to the Lord. Maybe it's a situation in your life that's happened that you haven't been able to give to the Lord. After your will. We're going to sing this song as a prayer. It'll be our benediction. But this morning, if you would like me to pray for you because of something specific going on in your life during the prayer time, whenever no one's looking, remember how evangelists used to say that, no one's looking around, but just lift your hand so I know who you are and I can pray for you. It's really important for a pastor to get to know folks that way also. Okay, let's stand. We're going to sing just this chorus. I'll pray, and then during that prayer, if you would like me to pray for you because of something that's really going on in your life where you need Jesus to show you His will, just lift your hand. Ooh, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and yield me after thy will, in waiting, humble and still. Lord, it's been good to be here this morning. It's been wonderful, Lord, to see these folks here today. Thank you for them. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. And Lord, we thank you for Romans 12, telling us how to prepare ourselves and how to get ready to serve Jesus. And then, Lord, what to do when we know that. Help us to be evangelistic. Help us to be caring. And Lord, we would pray this morning that you would just be with us now as we go into the week that you have before us. Help us to be cautious of this virus. Help us to be strong in our faith. And Lord, help us be deliberate in our testimony. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, I thank you, folks. You're dismissed. I love you.